Blog Talk is still giving fits. Hey, this is Michael Vandervoort.
California.
That glitch at the front is making me nuts. It catches me every day now. So, Michael Vandervoort on Drive Through HR. Our guest today is Molly Cantrell Craig. Hello, Molly. How are you today?
Hi, Michael. I'm doing great. Thanks so much.
As you can tell, I told you in the pre-show, Blog Talk has been a little glitchy, and it continues with our opening clip starting up a little late. So Molly, you and I have known each other on social media for a while. We are alumni. Both of us worked for varying periods of time with BTC Revolutions, which is kind of how I met you, and
yep.
With Amanda Height and Brandon Hill, some other really great folks that a lot of us know. But you and I, it's the first time you and I have ever actually talked live. And a lot of our audience, which is HR and social media types, probably won't know you either. So why don't you introduce yourself, tell us who you are and what you're up to these days?
Okay, yeah, my name is Molly Cantrell Craig, and I am the founder of a nonprofit organization called Women with Drive. Excuse me. And what we do is we provide women with cars in order to get them off welfare. The number one reason welfare to work programs fail is lack of reliable transportation. So I can imagine a lot of the people in your audience are human resources, people who have perhaps identified amazing candidates for positions, but those candidates can't get back and forth to work because they don't have a car in order to get them there. So the organization is based on my experiences as a single mother 25 years ago when I went back to school. I didn't have a car, but I have the drive. So a friend took me back and forth to school, and through the interim, I learned a lot of things about helping women become themselves, and the car was the shape that took. So our nonprofit is now based in Chicago, moved from Iowa, and we are starting to learn how to scale nationally using Chicago as our petri dish.
Lots of cars in Chicago. When I used to live in the Midwest, it was always the city I hated to drive to most because you always got stuck on I-94 or somewhere. It just seems like I live in Atlanta now, and it's if not worse, it's equally as bad. Just we don't get the wintry weather so often. So
well, the other thing about Atlanta is, and I don't mean to interrupt, but when we were featured in the Huffington Post in 2013, we got chapter requests from Atlanta because it's a city that's very reliant on the autonomous vehicle. And one of the questions a lot of people ask about us is why we chose Chicago, because the illusion is that because they've got the L, because they've got taxis, because they've got a really great CTA, that nobody needs a car in this town. But unfortunately, that's not true. For example, Caress was our first recipient here this spring, she's a welder. She's the first welder in her shop. And welders have jobs that rely on job sites. And those job sites change. So what she might be doing one day might not be the same job that she's assigned through her union anywhere from 2 days to 2 months later. So having a car is still a vital part of being an autonomous person and generating a real income. So anyway,
yeah,
that was something
and,
we learned
and,
earlier,
and
by the way.
Well, I've got trucks driving by outside my office window here. So Atlanta, to continue the traffic theme for just a second, Atlanta is largely viewed as a city where everybody drives, and yet
yep.
they actually have it's not as widespread as the L in Chicago, but they actually have MARTA, which like if you're at the airport and you're going downtown, they have some great public transportation to parts of the city, like 250 one way from the airport to downtown, which if you with Uber, the advent of Uber, it makes it a lot easier to get around Atlanta if you're going to the right spots. But to your point, it only runs to certain places. And once you get outside of that, then you're kind of hung up if you need to get to the suburbs or to a specific building or something like that. So, yeah, different. And you also do social. I mean, I mentioned BTC, but you also now are a social media consultant as well, right?
Correct. What I did is prior to founding the nonprofit, I've actually got a media background. So whether I've got a journalism degree and an art degree, and I've worked both sides of the front of the house and the back house. So I've got experience in a various number of media across strata, both in production and in sales. So I have a client-based vision that helps people communicate via digital channels now. And so What I've done is in building Women Must Drive, I applied my knowledge of how to place media, how to find the right people, how to communicate with different organizations, and that's all wrapped up basically in Women Must Drive. So those are the types of things that I do for individuals.
Okay. And
that was exciting. I'm never
going to
fanfare when I speak.
I only wish it was like heavenly trumpets instead of Tupac,
okay.
But it all
That's
works.
Okay.
Sorry
works.
About that. I think
here.
He interrupted your last thought. You want to continue that or?
It's just that what I do as a personal client is help them identify to whom they wish to speak and the manner in which they wish to be spoken to, and to put those points together using digital media, social media channels.
Cool. So, and you know, you asked about whether we'd have any other hosts here today or not. Obviously, it's just you and I. So, the drive-thru's been around, Molly, for about 4 years, and our audience is largely human resources practitioners and people who work in the HR space, whether that be, you know, tech companies selling applicant tracking systems or that kind of thing. So, you're largely talking to people who are in talent and or management of HR. But a lot of us also are, you know, have a lot of affinity to social media. I guess what the show used to be about, as I told you in the pre-show, we used to ask questions that were kind of aimed at, you know, bringing out what are the HR issues that practitioners are dealing with, because we wanted to try to have a daily show, 30 minutes, where people could kind of take a learning away, you know, here's something that was relevant to them. And we did that theme for 4 years, and just this month in August, we switched up and we've decided to try to tackle a different theme. It's a little more personal. It's a little more difficult, but it's as I mentioned in the pre-show, it's about failure and how people learn from failure. So, you know, I know enough about you to know you've tried a few different things, and you mentioned being a single mom, and that's definitely a challenge. I've had relationships that turned into marriages with a couple of women that started out as single moms. And so I got a chance to kind of know them, you know, in their circumstances before we got married. And it, you know, the utmost respect for anybody that can pull that off, whether single, whatever kind of parent,
Thank
whether
you.
You're father, it's bad enough. It's tough enough having a whole couple that can kind of split up the duties. It's very hard to do it alone. So I guess what I was, you know, you've got the foundation, you've kind of got your social media career. Do you have a story, or do you have an inspiration for the Women with Drive thing? Is there something personal that brought you to that? Or I guess what I'd like to attract towards the theme, but I'm not exactly sure which question to throw you. So talk to us about you know, something you tried maybe that didn't work out the way you thought it would work, and what you learned from it. And if it's in relation to the foundation, that would be probably even better.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think that my youngest daughter is now 21 years old, and they're all on their own. They're in college and they're doing their own thing. And so I will say from the outset that my ability to be comfortable with failure has increased exponentially since my children have been on their own. Women with Drive actually first occurred to me back in 1997. But at the time, I didn't have the Rolodex. I had a kid in grade school, middle school, high school. The technology that we're using today in terms of mobile apps, all of these other solutions, on-demand transportation, those did not exist in 1997. So part of the thing that I'm thinking of from the outset is that the best way to fail is to know when you've got the best chance of learning from it. So if I would have bullied ahead and gone ahead and said, I'm going to start this nonprofit back in 1997, did not have enough tools to truly make it successful, I would have really had a stupendous failure, bad, terrible, almost probably something that would have been very difficult from which to recover. So I think the first thing you've got to do when you're thinking of failure is to really think to yourself, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? Am I prepared to try something and not let it work? And I know that people think about positive, you know, we got to focus on the positive. And I'm absolutely someone who looks at what's possible. I'm an absolute possibilitarian. But part of taking risks is thinking to yourself, cooking up the worst possible scenario. And I'm just thinking, you know, tides crashing, things falling off, you know, terrible, terrible. And if you can be at peace with, yeah, you know what, okay, that's when you should give it a shot. So So the first thing I'm going to say is my ability to risk things happened after my children were all on their own, and I didn't have to worry about if I do something stupid, is there going to be someone else who suffers because of my choices? So when Women with Drive was established, our business plan has changed three different times since our first one that we penned back 4 or 5 years ago in Iowa. Because what you think is going to be your solution is not always going to be the solution. It's your first draft. I love that quote, LinkedIn founder guy. If you're not embarrassed by your first offering, then you're waiting too long to launch. So Women with Drive does not have, it has the bare bones of what it looked like when I first started. And I think there's another quote that's about, you know, you've got to be firm in your vision and flexible on the approach that it's going to take to get there. Because the thing is then when you're starting out and when you do anything, very oftentimes opportunities and solutions will come to you that you never knew were possible. So if you're open to being able to change course without feeling as though you're a complete and utter failure, then you're way ahead of the game. So that's something that really drives my philosophy in terms of creating Women with Drive.
Go ahead. I was going to say, how does Women with Drive, I realize it's a kind of a evolving thing, but so how does somebody get involved with Women with Drive as a potential, I guess it's not candidate, isn't the right word, as somebody who's a client? How do you find them? How do you work with them? Tell us a little bit about I got the idea that you try to provide a car, but that's a complicated thing to turn over to someone, I would imagine.
Sure. Well, we actually, you know, and this is going to come from my experience and my pedigree as someone in media. We actually have three clients. Our first client is going to be the participant. And that person is found or sourced secondary client who is the community partner. And that community partner agency is in the form of the YWCA, the Housing Authority of Cook County, Jane Addams Resources Corporation, the Chicago Women in Trades. These organizations are organizations who work in capacity building, and they are people who are on the front lines meeting individuals who are ready to take ownership of their future. So what we do is we go to those people and we say, all right, this is what we do. You need to get people back and forth to a job. When you identify one of your people in your case of working files who is someone who's a good risk, let us know about it. We'll work to figure out how to get that person a car so that they can continue their forward movement. And our third client is the stakeholder. So these are going to be the people who donate to us. And these can be anywhere from, you know, philanthropic people who just want to make sure that they're doing good in the world and leaving a great legacy. Some of them are business people who say, you know what, it's worth it to me to fund you guys so that I can make sure that we're having quality applicants and quality people are showing up every day to work and creating value for not only themselves as individuals and their families, but also helping us with our business. So we are actually an economic driver. So the way that people can get in touch with us is there's lots of different ways to help. One, we do not award cars directly to individuals. So if Jane Smith or, you know, Amy Jones called us and said, hey, I need a car, we would refer her or him, because technically a man qualifies for a car as well. If an individual were to contact us, we would route them to a caseworker or somebody who can provide a two-year program in conjunction with us so that we can help make sure that they're continuing to move forward. And then the other ways that you can be part of it is that we're actually partnered. One of our partners is the Berwyn Development Corporation, which they're a suburb of Chicago, and they help us identify businesses who can award. And they're also an organization that helps us identify businesses that we can help, you know, provide those case management support systems for our employers. Because at date, Women with Drive is actually an economic driver. There are a lot of wonderful social good things that happen when a woman has a vehicle, but we are also an economic driver. So I'm going to go off on a tangent. So
yeah, no, that's fine. I love the fact that you term your organization as an economic driver as opposed to, you know, a charitable foundation or a you know, a not for profit or any of the other things that they legitimately are. So like, how big, I mean, I understand that it's, how big is Women with Drive right now? I mean, do you have 10 clients at a time? Do you, what sort of, give us just a picture of the infrastructure. Is it, Is it a part-time thing for you? I want to understand a little bit more, I guess.
Sure. We are actually, we're basically in a pilot launch type of status because when we moved from Iowa, we effectively started from ground zero here in Chicago. We've been here for
Okay.
2 years, and getting those types of partnerships, you can't ask someone to marry you on the first date. So we've been busy spending the past previous 2 years making those connections, establishing trust levels, getting organizations on board, helping our legal structure frame out properly. So we've got a few cars. We're working on our next two applicants that'll be going through the system. But right now we're actually relatively small. But the thing is that I'm of the opinion that structural integrity at the micro translates to structural integrity at the macro. So if we're paying attention to our brick and mortar and our connections right now, those connections are going to hold. There's going to be, again, like I said, structural integrity when we scale. So, and the point of what we're doing is to get, we've got someplace in the suburbs moving, we've got someplace in the city proper going, and what that's helping us to do is learning how we can scale to fit a national model while still being small enough to see where the wheels fall off. Where are the processes not happening? Where can we learn? Where can we fail? So we came here specifically to fail forward. When we were in Iowa, the variables in Iowa were awesome. We had great people in Iowa, but very oftentimes some of them were in Des Moines or they were in, 4 hours away from us. So we've got the density of resources in Chicago to be able to just fail faster, quite frankly. So in terms of the thinking of failure, is that because we have the capacity to award three cars at once here in Chicago, that gives us an opportunity and our boards to take a step back and say, okay, what's working, what's not working, what can we keep, what can we pitch? And so that's where we really are. We're right in the middle of starting our big sales.
I was just looking at your Twitter account. Women with Drive is at WW Drive, right? And the
Well, it's
website.
WWDR, the number one, V as
One.
in
Oh
Victor
yeah.
E. That's different
Bad.
because there is another account out there that who uses the I. They are not affiliated with us in any way, shape, or form. And as a matter of fact, Twitter won't take them off the site. So it's, that's not us. But we are the one with the one.
You don't.
WWD as in David, R1BE.
Got it.
Excuse me.
That's my bad eyes without glasses
That's
on,
okay.
Molly.
That's okay. I just wanted to make sure because there is another one out there who's using an I, and that's not us.
Your website is womenwithdrive.org. So if
That is
anybody,
correct.
anyone's interested, if they're so one of the things that has, and this goes back to the BTC thing. Without shilling too much on their behalf, I know that Amanda has been a huge proponent for No Kid Hungry. And a lot of the folks, including myself and Crystal Miller, who are both hosts, just did a poetry slam at the SHRM show in Las Vegas as a fundraiser for No Kid Hungry. And I think today was the last day of an auction to help raise money for No Kid Hungry on behalf of the SHRM group, bloggers group that we're all sort of attached to. There seems to be a big trend in business and in other ways where this drive towards a more type of conscious capitalism or whatever you want to call it. So, and you're kind of blending, you're an entrepreneur or a consultant, and you're also running this organization. So how does that play out for you? You mentioned the tools. I guess the social media part of this made connecting and outreach on a lot of levels a lot easier, right, than it was when you first thought of it in 97. You want to talk about that a
Correct.
little?
Sure. Well, to speak to your point earlier about what you're talking about with No Kid Hungry and Amanda, what Women with Drive represents is probably we are a 501c3, but the thing that I've noticed over the past 5 to 7, probably 10 years, is brand alignment. And by alignment, I mean because the transparency of the web has made it possible for people to figure out, okay, if I buy this pair of shoes, this is where my money is actually going. And they can track that dollar through the supply chain. Where are they sourcing the materials? Are they pouring their their wastewater into the Danube, or what's going on with where my money goes. And so people are starting to also understand the velocity of go, who does it touch, where is it happening, you know, what does it invest in after it leaves my fingertips and goes into the till. So all of those things are important in terms of where we spend our time, because for those of us who are entrepreneurs and people who truly understand what, you know, time is money. And by saying time is money, it's not, time is money is a manifestation of the way you spend your corporeal time. I am giving you X amount of minutes of my life right now, gladly, willingly, and I'm investing it talking with you. When we're online, what we do, what we click on, what we read, what we forward, those are all fungible goods. Those are all things that we are spending and sharing our time with. And so companies who understand how time translates as money and money translates as values are the ones who are going to be succeeding in our space. And the way to be the most agile is understanding how to measure. And the only way you can measure is by understanding data, understanding click rates, and what are they, what's your heat map on your site. All these other things are all, it's kind of a weird symbiosis. It's a symbiosis and a, dare I say, synergistic relationship between how you spend your time, how you spend your money, and where you put your brand. Because again, I'm a brand. And it sounds silly to say that, and I cannot believe that actually came out of my face. But people from the beginnings, I mean, 20-some years ago, when people, there's a generation who grew up and was weaned on Survivor. These people want, they believe their vote counts. They expect their vote to count, and they want their vote to tell you as a business person where you're going to spend your R&D dollars to make sure that you're catering to that person with the smartphone. And so there's 30 years of people who have grown up like that. And also, this person, this individual, is also a Kardashian. They've grown up with YouTube. They've grown up being able to upload a picture of them or a clip of them giving their opinion about anything from I hate this soft drink to I love this shoe. And it gets uploaded, and the meritocracy says, we love this, we're going to forward it, we're going to share it, it's going to go viral. There's all this confluence of individual brand and what we consider a traditional brand like Coke or whomever. There's this symbiosis and exchange and cross-pollination that's all happening out there in the digital space. And if you know how to look for it, it's all sitting there. It's all just waiting to be figured out and read and quantified and digitized and read. Wow, so that was a big sentence.
it means I didn't have to ask a question. As I said, I was looking at your Twitter account, and there's a great picture of the lady that you mentioned who's a welder. And in 140 characters, right? Orphaned at 13 years old, this welder is forging a new life for herself, proud to be a part of her journey, hashtag WWF, and then Allstate. So that tells a bunch, right? But there's a whole lot more to that story. I'm not going to ask you to necessarily tell that story, but just that with that picture, you know, makes me wish I could do something with you to help you help someone get a car. So how does, if there is a business out there, or there is somebody, and I understand right now you're Chicago-based, but if there is somebody that's interested in working with your foundation, you mentioned the stakeholders and the client and all that, but what's your process, Molly? I mean, like all states mentioned here, so I assume they did something. If you want to give them a shout-out, feel free, but if that's not appropriate, then, you know, walk us through how somebody could get affiliated, or how an HR person who's, you know, has an issue with public transportation might be able to work with you to help their employees, if that was the appropriate thing.
Sure. The best thing that I would recommend is that they email us at WWD as in David, F as in Frank, partner, @gmail.com, and just put, you know, this, you know, put in the subject line, put Michael's show, put something that we can track that came from, if you want to use your hashtag, or HR show, we can find it from that. But basically, if they send something to WWDF, they will route it to the proper place, and we can go from there, because there are a myriad ways they can help. And Perez's car was awarded through a partnership with Recycled Rides, who is the nonprofit branch of the National Auto Body Council. And so the thing about being in Chicago is that we can actually apply a national lens to a regional area because Chicago is so huge. I mean, it's 3 million people, for Pete's sake. So we're able to do a lot of national level stuff within a regional paradigm. And so, and one of our partners is the University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute. They are helping us understand how to apply sustainable mobility solutions where transportation is concerned to help drive economic development. And so what they learn through us is going to be applied to cities globally. So if you're a business or you're an organization that has a national presence and would like to learn how, or, you know, help us learn, you know, I'll do the failing for you. You just make sure that we are able to get some things done, and we'll keep everybody in the loop, and we're gathering data up the wazoo, which is hard, you know, makes it difficult to sit, but you'll learn a lot. And it's all going to be, you know, cataloged and dissected and disseminated so that people can figure out how are people moving? What is true mobility? It's not just about getting from point A to point B. What we do is we find people who don't know, you know, our tagline on our Twitter page is we meet people where they are and help get them where they want to be. That is what we're all about. And that's, you know, we just happen to use a car as our conduit. And I know that there are I know that, you know, in terms of speaking to the HR professionals who are listening, you guys are the point person for helping develop your employees. If you make a hire, you're investing in that person. You're investing in not only their salary and benefits, but you're hoping that they're going to be able to help your company grow and develop. And so there's a lot of things that are possible through an HR position where you can help with continuing education, with all these other aspects of that individual's development. And that's another thing that's changing in terms of the way people are interacting with their careers these days. You know, gone are the days of the 40 years in the gold watch. You've got people who are coming to you saying, how can we work in a partnership environment where I'm going to give you the best of me, you're going to give me the best of you, we're going to make some really wonderful things happen, and how can we move forward using our career as a conduit to move forward? That's what I think, and this is a total supposition. I don't know. But as an HR person, I know that they're tasked with helping develop the people that they're hiring to represent the company. Would that be an accurate assumption in part?
That would be, it's funny, HR is probably one of the more schizophrenic type of, and that's not really a great term. HR has so many kind of different responsibilities that internally, those of us who work in the field spend tons of time, you know, arguing, debating, and angst, whining about what should our role be, everything from party planner to strategic partner, right? But one thing that most HR people, if not all, would agree on is that talent and bringing the best talent into your company and working with on ways to retain it is one of the key tenets of the profession. So for sure, and I know, you know, a lot of people are looking for ways to help not just their own company, but to help other organizations. And that's why I thought it might be interesting to have you on and, you know, bring a little bit different perspective than the average HR guest, you know, kind of blend our worlds a little bit. Go ahead.
My apologies. Well, the cool thing about what Women with Drive does is that we work collaboratively across industries in order to reach common solutions. So there's so many multiple touch points involved with our organization, because what we're doing is we're taking a person who will probably, who's on welfare, so he or she is technically not a negative in terms of, they're not a negative, but if you're going to look at an economic XY axis, if they're on welfare, they're currently drawing from the system, which is, I was on welfare. So I, for 2 years, I knew what it was like to have my education funded, my kids were, you know, fed, and I was in subsidized housing, so I completely understand when you're in a position where you're drawing from the system. And then what we do is we intercede, and we work with them and other organizations in order to bring them to a point of zero, where they are now getting a job, they're making a salary, they're paying into the system, and so now they're no longer drawing from the system, and now they're going to be contributing. And then our long tail is obviously going to be that 10 to 20 years when more than likely the child that is raised in this family will have different options for them when they may not go and work or, you know, be on welfare or whatever, because they've got a different perspective, a different paradigm. They've been popped out of an orbit in a strata where they used to be, and now they're in a completely different place. And so what that does is that having effective transportation has so many positive touch points in an environment, because you've got healthcare comes into play, you've got kids who are able to go to the schools that they're able to qualify for, you've got kids who can go to camps now, their mother or their father is making a different wage, employers are having consistent employment hires where those people are actually showing up to work on time and they're contributing. So there's all these different things that happen when a car is part of the equation, when it happens to, when it comes to bringing someone into a position of autonomy and holistic autonomy.
That's awesome. I just tweeted out, I'm going to be in Chicago in mid-September. I'm speaking at the Illinois ASHRM Society of Human Resources Management State Conference there, and it's in Tinley Park, I think. It used to always be up by the McDonald's corporate campus, whatever that part of the
yep.
town is called. But they're going to a new location this year. But I just tweeted your Twitter handle to a couple of people that I know there. Because you guys can make maybe Dave Ryan and John Jorgensen are both involved with the state chapter of SHRM, and maybe they can connect with you guys and figure out if there's something that you can do to work together. I can't promise that.
Oh no,
yeah.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Sure. So that tweet, I just sent that tweet out. So listen.
Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. That's part of the magic of social, is that we can do that stuff while we sit here and talk about it, right? As opposed
yep.
to making a note and emailing it or handwriting it or something like that. So we've gone over 30 minutes. I told you I was going to try to hold it to 30. Very, very interesting conversation. I guess what I'd ask as a wrap question, Molly, is, we've talked about Women with Drive. Is there anything that you would like people to know about you or, anything you've got coming up here in the future, near future, that you'd like to make a little announcement about before we get ready to wrap the show?
Oh, well, sure. We're going to be working with the Shared Mobility Youth Center for a conference at the end of September, and then we're also going to be working with the University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute to have a mini workshop within there so that we can bring a few brains around the table to start a conversation on what we can do to help solve various problems using transportation as a tool. And that's one thing. And then I would just actually invite people to send us an email at that dfpartner@gmail.com if you have any questions whatsoever, because if you send them to that email, it'll get seen, it'll get routed, it'll get forwarded, and we always follow up on emails. So I really think it's an exciting time for us. We're building our partners, we're building momentum, and I get a good vibe. We have some wonderful people who are partnering with us, and we're not done yet. It's a job that many hands make light work. It was my grandma taught me when I was a kid. So
awesome.
There's still a couple more spaces on this journey that I'd love to have a couple more people to help us grow and learn and succeed.
Well, I'm a University of Michigan alumni, so it's cool that's a big organization within the university. They do a lot of research, so that's cool that you're working with them. And listen, I really appreciate you being a guest on the show. I know HR is not your wheelhouse; it's not your mainstream thing, but love to profile these kind of opportunities where disciplines like HR, marketing, social media, and charity can work together. And certainly transportation in the story of Caress and her welding career with a car, you know, that's such a win. Congratulations on that. And thanks so much
Thank
for being a guest on Drive Through today.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much, Michael.
I'm gonna play a little music and take us out. You have a great afternoon, Molly. Take care.
You as well. Bye-bye.
It might seem crazy.